Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Parker.
Welcome back. 402-951-1620. Second straight offseason, the Denver Broncos have made a bold move to try to upgrade their fortunes in the very difficult AFC West, home of the Chargers and the Raiders. And some other team.
And some other team, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disrespect the Chiefs. Parker Gabriel, who covers the Broncos for the Denver Post, joining us here on the program. Parker, how are things?
Going great. I like to think that you guys play that drop even on the not on the rare occasion when I'm about to come on the radio.
We play it quite a bit. We love that drop.
It's on my main drop.
See, the problem is it's a sip classic, so occasionally just, you know, sip does things, and then we get one of these.
Parker.
I drove there shirtless.
Well, speaking of shirtless, how many Bronco fans were dancing in the streets shirtless when the news broke on Wednesday that Sean Payton was going to be the next head coach?
I don't know if you guys noticed this, but fan bases do this thing where they start out wanting one thing, and then when that thing doesn't seem like it's going to happen, they shift really hard to wanting another thing, and then it just kind of goes, even though they're like, fans will say like, oh, well, I don't want this, I don't want that. But then, like, after a while, you sort of come around to it. So, like, Sean Payton was the guy everybody wanted a month ago, and then it was Harbaugh, and then it became D'Amico Ryans when it seemed like that was going to happen. So it's kind of funny because they hired a guy that's won 152 games in the NFL. He's won a Super Bowl. And a lot of people are like, yeah, he was their third pick, or he this, or he that, or whatever. But I think people overall are excited and will be once the 5-12 is a little further in the rear view.
Parker, you mentioned D'Amico Ryans, and I wanted to ask you about him. Like, what do we know and what don't we know about the continued efforts of landing him before the news came down earlier this week? Because we had a source off between a couple of the national folks in Adam Schefter and then in Ian Rappaport, where they were both reporting different things.
Yeah, that was an all-time, that was a classic source off. I think, you know, so what I know is that Denver really liked him and that they thought they were in the mix for him. And I've been told on good authority that they didn't have direct contact with him after Sunday. So, like, from maybe they checked with him right after the NFC Championship game, but more or less that was the last time they talked to him or his agent. I will say, I know also that on Tuesday, they were at least aware of what was happening in Houston, that he was going down there and all that. I mean, he was one of their top guys. I think he was probably the guy that they wanted. But you know how these things go. Like, I also think that it wasn't just on Tuesday that they changed, you know, they moved off them. He started to have either second thoughts about Denver or, you know, he was wrestling with his options. And if Houston sort of emerged as maybe his pick, you know, that was late the week before. And that was when Peyton really picked up steam. And so I don't think those things are entirely coincidental, but I also think it's fair to say that the Broncos had, you know, pretty good options or a pretty good trio in the picture at the end with those two. And then obviously they had conversations with Jim Harbaugh for a couple of weeks, and they end up with Sean Payton. And whether it's, you know, however you want to say it, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, 1, A, 1, B, whatever, I think they're pretty happy to end up with Sean Payton.
One more, Parker, for me on a coach they didn't hire before we get into Payton, Harbaugh. What do we know? What did your reporting show in terms of how that unfolded and ultimately why he is still at Michigan?
Yeah, it's always a little curious when people say, like, well, no offer was made at the second meeting. Like, yeah, but they flew there for a reason. And I believe that the reason they went there is because because Jim wanted to talk to them again and meet them in person. I mean, I think it was very much a two-way street. You know how it goes with coaches, especially, I mean, like, Jim Harbaugh's got a really good job. And at the end of the day, I think he decided he wanted to stay there, but I also think that it wasn't, I think it was a pretty close call. And then, you know, exactly how close it got, I mean, hard to say without having been in the room, but yeah, I mean, I think it was real. And that would have been very interesting, but it didn't go that way.
Parker Gabriel joining us, covering the Broncos for the Denver Post. How much do you think the maybe some of the muted excitement was because the last offseason, Denver thought they had made the bold moves that was going to put them over the top, and of course it turned out not to work out very well with Russell Wilson? Could it be just a case of maybe being burned one too many times? It's like, all right, I'm gonna hang back on this. And it's also the fact that, oh, by the way, last year's big offseason acquisition is still around. He is still slated to be the quarterback next year, we think.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit of all of that. I think also too, like, you know, fans, this time of year, it's all, you know, there's mock drafts and there's this and that. And I think one of the things about whether you're talking about Harbaugh or DeMeco Ryans or really anyone else is then suddenly it starts to look like a pretty savvy deal that George Payton made at the beginning of November when he traded Bradley Chubb to Miami and got a first round pick back. And it's number 29 because San Francisco literally didn't lose after that trade happened, and it's the rights to San Francisco's pick and all that. But even still, it's kind of like, well, you know, you've got a first-round pick. You've got, like, more or less they didn't have a second-round pick, but they had two at the very top of the third. So you've got, like, almost a full complement of draft picks, and you know, you've got maybe a dynamic young coach or an established guy coming from college or whatever. It starts to feel like, and then with Payton, it's like it's a huge swing. It's expensive. It costs you a first-round pick. It's probably worth it. But, you know, their first draft pick now is 68. So it just, like, it really pretty radically changed the complexion of their offseason. And it changed – I mean, I just think there's going to be a lot of changes. Like, I think, that they've got some, not a ton of cap room. Sean Payton has very defined ideas about the types of players he likes and roles and all of that. And so, like, I just think it's kind of like you're basically – instead of turning it over to a young guy and saying, let's build it, I mean, you're turning this thing over to Sean Payton and saying, get us out of this, please. And it's just going to be fascinating to watch. And I think the excitement will come around. I really do. But it's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, Parker, and along those lines, I had a debate the other night with somebody because I think if you look at Russell Wilson's contract and you understand, like, you can't move on from him for X number of years. And mm-hmm. I guess people will probably agree or disagree on how long that is. But if you kind of start at that basis, then you need a coach that can command the respect and that you hope can coach him up, develop him. Like, we're going to find out, I think, next year if Russell Wilson is shot. And if he is, then that will be a problem for, I guess, the future. But that's why I'm not the biggest Sean Payton fan in the world. I've said it a bunch of times the last few weeks. You know, he's Mike McCarthy with better PR. But I do understand it just from the perspective of the Russell Wilson contract and trying to make that work to some degree.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, look, I don't think that Russell Wilson is washed, as the kids say. He's clearly not the player he was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think the shoulder injury probably bothered him more than they let on over the course of the year. And he, obviously, it's not just like he's got to be a little better. Like, he has to play a lot better. And so that all is understood. And the thing that I think is, like, well, who could you find? And maybe you could make an argument for Harbaugh and whoever he would have brought as the coordinator or whatever, but, like, who can you find who's better suited to at least getting more out of him than Sean Payton? And so that is, I think, to me, like, Russell Wilson, it's not all bad money. I think he can still be a good player, but essentially it feels a little bit like chasing bad money, you know, chasing bad money with good money and trying to turn it all into pretty good money. And if it doesn't work, then you got a real mess on hand. Taking away another first round pick, you're paying Sean Payton probably a lot of money. for the foreseeable future, and then you're maybe thinking about having to, you know, blow up the roster and start over again. But if it does work, then suddenly, now the division's really good. Obviously, Kansas City's not going anywhere anytime soon. But, like, if they would have averaged 19 points a game this last year, they would have won, like, 10 or 11 games. And so the offense doesn't have to be in the top 10 where Sean Payton's offenses, albeit with a Hall of Famer, were for most of his time in New Orleans. I mean, they just have to be decent league average offensively, and they're going to be in the mix at least. And given where Denver's been the last 7 years, I mean, in the mix itself would represent a big improvement.
When it comes to actually building the roster, now I don't know if this is 100% accurate, but just checking on Spot Track right now, Denver's cap space is around $12 million, but they won't have first round or second round picks this year, thanks to the trade for Russell Wilson. So they won't be picking until pick 68 and 69.
Nice.
Of the third round. So when it comes to actually building the roster, and you know Sean Payton isn't brought here for a long-term overhaul, they want to get it up and running really quick. You know, what kinds of obstacles stand in the way of Payton trying to get things off to a fast start?
Yeah, well, their cap situation isn't great, but they'll make some moves. They can actually clear quite a bit of cap space and do it pretty easily. I mean, and any of these guys they could restructure with, I'm just using the cut option as sort of like the example. But, you know, Ronald Darby tore his ACL 6 weeks into the year, and they had a rookie corner, Damari Mathis, step in and play really well. And so Ronald Darby, Graham Glasgow, and Chase Edmonds, the running back they traded for midseason, like those guys combined, if they cut those three guys, I mean, they could clear, I think it's between 30 and 35 million off their books. And all those guys were like, they had roles, but none of them are sort of like indispensable type players. And you could do the, you know, the restructure and clear, you know, 2/3 of that or something like that. And the thing is, like, Sean Payton has experience in this regard too, right? With an older, expensive quarterback where you're sort of like pushing money down the way and all of that. And this is where, like, it's not going to solve all your problems, but this is where having the richest owners in football, like, I think they're going to have, this is sort of like their end of the bargain to flex their muscles in this regard, where it's like, you got Garrett Bowles, the left tackle, he's coming off an injury, but if he turns base salary into a bonus, you can clear $8 million off your books. So, like, do you want to guarantee that guy's money all up front the year before maybe you could think about moving on? I mean, ideally, you know, that might not be out of the, like, general manager school of general managing, like, manual, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So I think they've got plenty of moves they can make that don't, like, you know, make the cupboards bare in terms of where they're at roster-wise and clear a lot of space and find some additions and all of that, but, like, I think there's going to be a lot of that this offseason. I just think it's going to be a pretty big overhaul. And now that Sean Payton is in the building, like, whether they say he's got final say on the 53 or if that's still George Payton or whatever, like, he's obviously going to have a big say in sort of, like, who they look at and the kind of player they look at and all that.
Parker, one more from me. You mentioned earlier you don't think Wilson is washed. I wonder if you are concerned at all or if the Broncos should be concerned about, like, I don't know, just him in general. Like, there were quite a few moments from this past season that kind of went viral, whether it was a stare from a teammate. Certainly there was that moment late in the year where there was some words being said on the field that the cameras caught. I mean, even the sandwich thing with Subway. Like, he is obviously a personality. I just wonder if that should be a concern at all for the Broncos, or if it's just he needs to improve as a player and then all that other stuff they can deal with it because he'd be a good football player again.
Yeah, you know, I really think, and this is based on being in the locker room, you know, three times a week or whatever, and talking to guys, some of it's on the record and some of it's not, obviously, or whatever. But, like,
yeah,
I really honestly believe that for the most part, he doesn't have a teammate problem. I mean, yeah, guys get frustrated because they were bad. Like,
yeah,
they were
yeah.
really – and the thing about it is their defense, like Mike Purcell, has been cut 15 times in his NFL career. And that's the best – I mean, that's – Denver's had some good defenses over the years, and that's one of the best ones they've had in the last two decades. And you get guys that work their whole careers to be on units like that, and then the offense is so bad that you don't even sniff contention. Like, of course that's frustrating. And of course, like, Russell Wilson deserves his share of the blame for that 100%. But I don't, in terms of like overall respect, the fact that he goes viral and most of the time it's cringeworthy and all that, like, I think most guys don't care that much about that. But I also believe strongly that, like, he underestimated what it was going to be like coming to Denver, leaving Seattle after a decade, everything that entails, not just being who he is, but being in a new place and all of that. And so, like, I think it'll help to just be in Denver for an entire offseason, even though they're going to go through the new coach thing again. And then it's really sort of like up to him to play better. Because if you play good in the NFL, not much else matters, as long as you're not, you know, running afoul of the law or whatever. So, like, and even then sometimes, but that's not really too much of a concern with Russell Wilson. Like, you just, if he plays good, it's all going to be fine. The Subway thing is, like, his teammates will be making fun of him rather than not saying a word about it, you know?
Yep.
If he's, you know, accounting for 3 touchdowns a weekend or whatever. So, I mean, that's how I see it. Like, he's certainly a unique dude to cover. But I just think if you play good, that pretty much solves all your problems.
Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post. Parker, thanks a lot for the time. Never any shortage of things to talk about in Denver.
Yeah, that's right. Continue being unsportsmanlike. I so appreciate it.
We will
Thank
do
you,
that.
Thank you, Parker.
Thanks,
good to
Parker.
Hear from you, man.
Parker.
Yeah, you guys. Parker Gabriel joining us here on the program.
Fascinating, obviously. I can talk myself into this working, not to like winning the Super Bowl working, but like improving and it not being a disaster. We said it a lot in September. They were the funniest show on TV for a while. They were a laughing stock. And if they can just not be that, you know, and get to the playoffs, that's why I don't hate this. But again, I am viewing this so much as there's this short term of Russell Wilson under the contract right now. And that's why I don't mind giving up a first round pick. You know why? Because if this fails, this regime's going to fail, and they're going to have to figure out some stuff on the back end anyway.
Yeah.
Let's ride.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming up, we've still got Kent's Movie Club, and we have an update on sports betting. Are you going to be able to bet on the Super Bowl in Nebraska?
Oh.
On 1620 The Zone.
Hey, everyone. Josh Peterson here for my friends at Kugler Vision. We have some great weather in the forecast over the next few days. John's afraid of 50 degrees. Friends, I'm not afraid of 50 degrees. And I know many of you, if you have the glasses, you might have the prescription glasses as well. Or you don't have the prescription glasses because maybe a little too much dough for you. You don't want to have the regular sunglasses and go outside and it's a whole problem. Well, I don't have to worry about that anymore. So whether it is sunny and gorgeous, whether it is cloudy and not, or at night, I have the sunglasses, whether it's the $5 pair or even a nicer pair if you want to spend a little bit more money, because I don't wear regular glasses anymore. It is time to love your LASIK with the folks at Kugler Vision, because February is Love Your LASIK Month. They are celebrating all month long with special LASIK savings just for you. And whether it's LASIK or one of their other 6 forms of FDA approved modern vision correction, you'll be able to wear those sunglasses in style. Give them a call today at 402-558-2211 or visit their website, KuglerVision.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.